ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
श्रीमद् भागवतम् Canto 1, Chapter 3, Text 39, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace Srila V.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Athe Hathanya Bhagavan Chaitam
Athe Hathanya Bhagavan Chaitam
Yat Vasudeve Kila Lokanathe
Yat Vasudeve Kila Lokanathe
Gurvanti Sarvatmakam Atma Bhavam
Gurvanti Sarvatmakam Atma Bhavam
Nayantra Bhuya Parivarta Ugraha
Nayantra Bhuya Parivarta Ugraha.
Translation. Only by making such inquiries in this world can one be successful and perfectly cognizant, for such inquiries invoke transcendental ecstatic love under the personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of all the universes and guarantees 100% immunity from the dreadful repetition of birth and death. The inquiries of the sages headed by Shonaka are herewith praised by Suta Goswami on the merit of their transcendental nature. As already concluded, only the devotees of the Lord can know Him to a considerable extent, and no one else can know Him at all. So the devotees are perfectly cognizant of all spiritual knowledge. The personality of Godhead is the last word in the Absolute Truth. Impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma, Supersoul, are included in the knowledge of the personality of Godhead. So one who knows the personality of Godhead can automatically know all about Him, His multipotencies, and His expansions. So the devotees are congratulated as being all successful. A 100% devotee of the Lord is immune to the dreadful material miseries of repeated birth and death.
Ateha dhamya bhagavanta itham Vasudeve Kila Lokanathe Kurvanti Sarvatmakam Atmabhavam Nayatra Bhuya Parivarta Ugraha.
Only by making such inquiries in this world can one be successful and perfectly cognizant, for such inquiries invoke transcendental ecstatic love unto the personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of all the universes and guarantees 100% immunity from the dreadful repetition of birth and death. Only by making such inquiries in this world. Such inquiries means inquiries of the nature described in the previous verses, or in the previous verses. Only those who render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service under the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who carries the wheel of the chariot in his hand, can know the creator of the universe in his full glory, power, and transcendence. So only by inquiring about Krishna can one achieve the perfection of life, make his life meaningful. Life is meant for that. Jivasya tattva jignyasa. Life is meant for inquiring into the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth is Krishna, described here as Lokanath, the proprietor of all the universes, Akila Lokanath, all the universes. That Supreme Lord is revealed, particularly in the Srimad Bhagavatam, as not only all-powerful, but all-sweet, all-loving, all-kind. Everything about Krishna is tasteful. as we can see from these verses themselves, the very sound of the verse which we're chanting, Te Adamya Bhagavantakitam Vasudevekilalokamate, the very sound of the verse, even if we don't understand Sanskrit, is very pleasing. Krishna is known as Uttama Shloka. He is described in the best verses. The best verse means the subject is automatically is the best, because the verses that describe Krishna are the best because they describe Krishna. He is the best. And also, if one is to make an analysis, even not analysis because it's subjective, because it's field, that when there are so many verses we can read which describe, just like in Manu Samhita, which is also Shastra leading to Krishna. Just for example, there are so many verses which describe how one should behave, what should one should do, one should not do. But Bhagavatam, that's mostly to help people come to Krishna, Bhavana Shantan. But here, this is Vyasadeva's direct glorification of Krishna. Of course, we may say that this is the discussion between Shukadeva and Sukadeva Swami, which came after Vyasadeva. But anyway, Vyasadeva himself wrote it all down later. So Vyasadeva himself is not only writing about this sarvatmakam atma-bhavam, or the overwhelming ecstasy of the soul, which comes about by understanding Krishna, but he's obviously directly experiencing that himself at his verses which he is composing in glorification of Krishna. This is in glorification. These verses here are glorifying the attempt to understand Krishna. Direct glorification of Krishna will come throughout the rest of the Bhagavatam. But here, Vyasadeva and Sutta Goswami, Shama Krishna, they're glorifying the attempt to even begin to understand Krishna. And already Vyasadeva is experiencing, he's expressing the sarvatmakam atma-bhavam. His own verses are full of the poetic brilliance that those who are sarvatmakam atma-bhavam, overwhelmed with love of Krishna, they experience and express. And we can see also in Prabhupada's translations, although English is not a language like Sanskrit. Sanskrit is a language which is specially, it's the language of the Supreme Lord. It's the language of cultured people. Sanskrit means Sanskriti, culture. English is not a cultured language. It is known as Mlecha Bhasha. That means language of lechers. Or it also means, Mlecha Bhasha also means a language which has no proper structure or form, and no rules. It's largely arbitrary. Sorry. English, I'm also English. We're all lechers. We're coming from this background. So this language was developed or is going on developing in a haphazard kind of way. It just kind of happens. But still, Prabhupada, we find his expression, his glorification of Krishna in these verses is beautiful poetry. You can just read the verse, just consider how wonderfully Prabhupada has expressed. He's given the translation of the Sanskrit. It's just like beautiful, it is beautiful poetry. Only those who render unreserved, uninterrupted, favorable service under the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who carries the wheel of the chariot in his hand, can know the creator of the universe in his full glory, power, and transcendence. So isn't that beautiful? It could be translated in so many different ways. But Prabhupada, he saw the verse and he spoke. This time, the first time he was writing. Later on, he was dictating. And that was edited a little bit. And we have the Srimad Bhagavatam. So this is, as Prabhupada would say, this is my My purports are my transcendental ecstasy. This is Prabhupada's expression of his sarvatmakamatmabhavam that he himself is experiencing. The complete ecstasy of glorification of Krishna. This, because we read, just like this atmabhava, ecstasy of the soul, and we've heard from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would jump in the air, fall down, crash into the ground, and the whole earth would shake and be like the earthquakes all over the world. And so many expressions of Chaitanya's Mahabhava, rubbing his face against the wall, running wildly. We didn't see that in Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, my ecstasy, this is my ecstasy, these purports is expressed in this manner. His feelings for Krishna. So this is the natural quality of the soul, atma-bhava, the natural quality of the soul is to be Krishna conscious. For this purpose, Vyasadeva wrote the Bhagavatam, to communicate Krishna consciousness. For this purpose, the whole parampara has descended generation after generation, transmitting the message of Bhagavatam. Prabhupada heard Bhagavatam, studied Bhagavatam, repeated Bhagavatam, gave us this Bhagavatam class so that we can discuss Bhagavatam. Nityam Bhagavata is daily discussed, daily or constant. Prabhupada wanted us to go on. This is the continuation of the parampara, to continue hearing and discussing Bhagavatam. Just yesterday I came across a statement of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvatthapa. He was speaking to just a visitor to his mouth, not one of his disciples, outside. So he said, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvatthapa said, you should hear Hari Katha constantly. And if you say that my son is about to die, he's on the verge of death, I say, let him die. You should go on hearing Hari Katha. Extreme. It sounds very extreme. It is extreme. These kind of statements, they may seem unreasonable, not compassionate, but this is spoken from the platform of our actual necessity. Here the discussed, what is our actual necessity? Our actual necessity is to understand Krishna, Prem Prayojan, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, told that the real necessity of every living being is to develop love of Krishna. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvatthapa, he was very much stressing. We have to go on hearing constantly. He was saying we have to hear just so that we can learn about Krishna and unlearn everything we've heard previously from our father and mother, from our teachers, from our friends. Everything we've heard before, we should unlearn. And learn. We should hear from the devotees about Krishna. And in this way, understand who is Krishna. This inquiry should be made. What is the purpose of life? Who is the proprietor? Who is the Akhila Lokanath? Who is the proprietor of all the planetary systems? What am I doing here? Why am I suffering here? This parivarta ugraha, this dreadful repetition of birth and death. Life is meant for this. But mostly people are too dull-headed. Mudha is the common word used in Bhagavad Gita. For persons who do not inquire about Krishna, who are not interested in the subject matter of Krishna, who are not interested in the subject matter of the Absolute Truth, who are Grihavrata. They have made a vow, I shall not become Krishna conscious under any circumstances. Natiya Krishna Paratasvato Vapitopita Dita Grihavratam. They have made a vow that I shall not, no one will induce me to be Krishna conscious. I am committed, I am firmly committed to my family, my country, my belly, my dog, my TV, my house, my home, and everything, but I shall not become Krishna conscious. Even they may not know anything about Krishna conscious, but their attitude is such. So such people are spoiling their lives, and it is the mission of the acharyas, beginning with Krishna himself, Krishnam Vande Jagat, Krishna is the original acharya, Adiguru, to give this knowledge to the world, give this knowledge of Krishna, that we can only be happy, we can only be fulfilled by understanding Krishna. And everything else outside of this endeavor to understand Krishna is simply not only meaningless, but aparta. Meaningless or apaswartha. It is opposite to our real self-interest. Our real self-interest is to understand Krishna. So mostly, people come to Krishna consciousness with this feeling. I must find out, what's it all about? What am I doing here? I'm suffering, mostly, especially in Kali Yuga. People come to Krishna consciousness largely, in many cases, due to feeling of dissatisfaction. Existential, what is that? The feeling of everything is wrong. There's something wrong with either the whole universe is wrong or I'm wrong. No. Something's wrong. Something's basically wrong. It's not what it appears to be. Everyone is saying, get money, enjoy, and I'm trying, but however much I try, it doesn't work. What's going on? So there are four kinds of people who come to Krishna. One of them is the first mentioned by Krishna. Artha, those who are suffering. So this suffering is actually very beneficial for the conditioned souls. Often people ask, well, if God is good, then why are we suffering? He should make, if God is good, then He should come and give me money, nice women, dhanam, janam, sundari. He should, if He's God and He loves me, then He should provide all these things. Then, how can we believe in God? You believe it, you say you believe in God, but still you're suffering, so if you say there's suffering, I just enjoy by myself. If He's there, He's not going to help. He's just some miserable person. He doesn't want to help me. So this, when one is suffering and one realizes that I have no shelter, I'm simply parivarta ugraha. I'm simply being thrown from body to body, suffering not only in this life, but life after life. Then if one is pious, then he will come to take shelter of Krishna. And this is particularly in Kali Yuga because it's an age of great suffering. All those simple persons with most simple desires are all put together in Kali Yuga, just like in there's one kind of hell, creamy bhojan, where all the living beings are born as worms and they all eat each other. One's eating the back of the other and from the back someone else is eating him. So it's like that in Kali Yuga. That I'm stabbing you in the back and in the meantime someone else is stabbing me in the back. Everyone is simply paradukha sukhi. They're taking pleasure in the sufferings of others. So in this situation, if one has any piety, and is fortunate, especially if one is fortunate enough to come in contact with the devotees of the Lord, who also appear in this Kali Yuga on the order of the Lord, to uplift the suffering souls of Kali Yuga. If they're fortunate, then they may come to this point of helplessness. But God, whoever you are, whatever you are, wherever you are, if you are, please help them. And then, by making such inquiries in this world, if one is fortunate enough, Brahmanda Pramite Kono Bhagiranji, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Vij, if one is fortunate enough, he will come in contact with the devotee who will direct him. Yes, you come. You do this, you do this, you do this. So Krishna is within the heart. Take the Guru. And when he sees someone is a little bit sincere to understand me, he said, you go here. Or Guru will come. Make the arrangement. So by the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. And then Guru says, do this, don't do that. Then you get Krishna. So by mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. By mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. But approaching Guru means not simply stick a picture on the wall. This is my Guru. I have his picture on the wall, and I offer incense every day, and that's my Guru. But one has to be inquiring, making inquiries. Where is Krishna? How can I understand Krishna? How can I be Krishna conscious? This attitude, eagerness, this logyam, Rupa Goswami said that, the only price to attain Krishna is strong desire to do so. So we often find that we are coming to Krishna consciousness due to the strong feelings of dissatisfaction. We may be very eager to find out where is Krishna. But then we come to Krishna. Here is Krishna. Here is Radha Madhava here. Nrisimhadeva here. Panchatattva here. The form of Krishna, Supreme Lord, manifest as the Acharya. Acharya Mam Vidamiya. Non different from Krishna. Prabhupada is here. We have the beads. Here is Krishna. We give in Krishna in every form. For the eyes, for the ears, for the tongue. But the tendency may be that now I got Krishna. I don't have to inquire about Krishna. Now, taking it for granted. Then instead of inquiring about Krishna, how should that be inquiring me? How can I serve Krishna? Then we may take to another kind of inquiry. There's another way of approaching Krishna, which actually doesn't bring us to Krishna. There are people who know so many things about Krishna, but they're not close to Krishna. Their inquiries about Krishna take them away from Krishna. Here, we're told that by inquiring into Krishna, we can make our life successful. But there is another kind of inquiry into Krishna, which will not only make our life successful, but that will make our life opposite, unsuccessful. That is the inquiry of the person who is not Sukritivan, who is not pious. He inquires into Krishna. As Prabhupada said, there are two kinds of questions. One kind of question is at the end of a class, Prabhupada was explaining. One kind of question is to understand Krishna, and the other kind of question is to avoid Krishna. So, there's another kind of inquiry. That may be called the academic method, in which one tries to study Krishna. One thinks that Krishna is the object of my study. Just like at the university, someone studies the mating habits of Amazonian grasshoppers, and someone else studies the unsolved mathematical riddles, and someone else studies computers, how to make the latest, greatest, fastest, lightest computer. Someone studies the history of the Norman invasion, of England, there's so many different things you can study. I even saw in England now they have a subject at the university called football studies. You can get a degree in football studies. So many things you can study. So some people may study Krishna in an academic method, or they study Shastra in an academic method to enrich the knowledge bank of the human race. You are a respectable scholar, you are studying grasshoppers, and I am studying Krishna, that Hindu god. So this kind of inquiry will not make us Krishna conscious. That is the licking the honey bottle from the outside kind of inquiry. This kind of inquiry may make us knowledgeable. Just like I saw one book in which the philosophy of the Ramanuja Sampradaya was given in great detail by a scholar from the Western countries. But one cannot become Krishna conscious by reading such a book, because they're simply studying, licking the honey bottle from the outside. What are the psychological analysis, the varieties of religious experience? But what is that experience? To experience that, one has to take the lid off the bottle and take the honey and taste it. It's a very good example that honey, you can spend your whole life studying honey, different varieties of honey, how it's produced, what are the medicinal qualities, the history of honey, and the commercial prospects for increasing the sales of honey. Even you can spend your whole life even studying one aspect of honey. But unless one takes the honey, puts a spoon, put your finger, lick it, and then oh, this is what honey tastes like. Now we've understood. There's no way to explain what it tastes like. Just like Prabhupada gave an example that someone was trying to explain what is the taste of jackfruit. Who knows what jackfruit, who's tasted jackfruit? To say who knows what jackfruit tastes like, we have to ask who has tasted jackfruit. So Prabhupada said that someone's trying to explain, and he said, well, it tastes something like sugar cane which has been filtered through a Muslim's beard. Well, it didn't help very much. Sugar cane juice. You can't understand without becoming a practitioner. So sometimes even the scholars, just like our devotees may disguise themselves, put on karmic clothes to go on book distribution. So sometimes the scholars, they come and pretend to be a devotee and live as a devotee just to get the feel of it. And then they go right back and write their PhD thesis and they become PhD. Because they have inside understanding. But actually one cannot have inside understanding without, there's a prerequisite, that is surrender to Krishna. We find in Bhagavad Gita, Raja Vidya, Raja Guhyam, Pavitram, Idam Uttamam, Taktaksha Bhagavan Dhamyam, Susukam Kartamabhyam. This knowledge is the king of knowledge, the most secret of all secrets. It is the purest knowledge. And it gives direct perception of the self. It's a very happy process to perform. So you may ask, well, why is it considered the most secret, Raja Guhyam? Why is it the most secret? How is that? Because Bhagavad Gita is widely known, it's distributed very widely in India. There are so many, literally millions of copies have been distributed in Hindi alone, not by ISKCON. ISKCON is also distributed, maybe must be over a million Bhagavad Gitas in Hindi, which is only one of the languages in India. But Gita Press, they have small, cheap Bhagavad Gitas, and literally, they write it in the front of the book. How many have been printed? And it's millions. So, why do you hidden away. Like in some religions, they have books which are not allowed for everyone to read, or even in what is called Hinduism. Previously, the Shastra was, what to speak of not being available to Westerners, it wasn't available to Indians either. The Shastra was only available to persons, or not persons, but boys born in the Brahmana caste. The Puranas, that was allowed for others. But the original four Vedas, that was only for persons, for boys born in the Brahmana caste, and they would be trained, they would be given Upanayanam, and then they would be taught Veda. So that was secret. Veda Shastra was secret. But Bhagavad Gita is very widely, because that's part of Mahabharata, which is Sri Yudha Dvija Gandhuna. That's for everyone, from fallen class. So why is that considered the most secret? They are available, but some key is needed. People can read it and think, I know Bhagavad Gita. But one cannot know. There is a condition that Krishna states, bhaktya mam abhijanati. I can be understood by the process of devotional service. And if one does not take to devotional service, and that means not formally, but bhakti means that here, atma-bhavam, that is the natural ecstasy of the soul. Unless one actually has the attitude that I am Aninitya Krishna Das, I am the eternal servant of Krishna, then even though one may academically study and even memorize many verses and even be able to explain it in some kind of manner, one will not understand. It's not possible to understand. The scholars, they will explain that according to Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They will never write, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There's a lot of difference. According to means, it's just something that someone believes. But if one writes, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is actually, that is a statement which is, it's a challenge. Because it's being stated, this is the fact. Now, you're going to accept it or not accept it. If we say this according to, or in the opinion of some scholars, if we write like that, it just allows the person to read it and think, okay, that's someone's opinion. It doesn't threaten anybody. The statement, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a challenge and a threat and a punch in the face to everyone who doesn't accept it. Because then you either have to accept it or you have to reject it. If you say according to, then, oh, alright, that's, according to, that's someone's opinion. If I like, I can also agree. If I don't like, I won't. And it's a free world and we're democratic and everyone can do what they like, think what they like. But Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. This statement that challenges us to accept it and become purified, or not accept it and become upset. Like, why is this person making these dogmatic, absolute statements? Absolute statements are not welcome in the academic world, because it's considered that no one can know everything. You can never really be sure of anything. You can believe something. Just like people often ask us, people would ask Prabhupada, what do you believe? And Prabhupada would immediately say, it is not a question of belief, it is a fact. So this is challenging. Is generally people think religion is something, you just believe. If you like, you believe. If you don't like, you don't believe. And your faith can change. But Prabhupada established, this is Sanatan Dharma. This is the intrinsic nature of the soul. It is not a question of belief. As long as we are on the platform of what do you believe, or I believe this, then we are not in our position of Sanatana Dharma. Then we are on the mental platform. I believe means I can change. But what is the fact? The facts, they are not subject to belief. Just like that New Delhi is the capital of India. It is not a question of belief. If we go in the geography examination, what is the capital of India? And we write London. It used to. So we can, then they may say, fail. You got no marks. Say, why? I wrote London. It's my belief. It's a free country. I'm entitled to my own opinion. You fail. Fail the exam. It's a wrong statement. It's accepted. This is something that we know for sure. That New Delhi is the capital of India. And if you don't believe that, then you're a fool. So in the same way, Abhijanati Mamunha Manashitamashita Param Bhavajananto Mamabhuta Maheshwara. Krishna states, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anyone who doesn't accept that is a fool and a rascal. Because it's a fact. And if we don't accept the fact, then we're wrong. It's not a question of belief. So, Prabhupada spoke with this on this platform of knowledge. Bhagavata Vijnana. It is a question of knowledge. It is not a question of theory, of belief, formulation. It is transcendental fact coming from the Absolute Truth itself. It is Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna, the Absolute Truth. Now it may be said that, well, faith is also required in bhakti. That's true. Shraddhavan janvan, shraddhavan janhoi, bhakti adhikari. Faith is the required, the first requirement is the principle or the intrinsic requirement to be eligible to take up bhakti. But then, faith is required in every level of existence. It's also required faith that New Delhi is the capital of India. I said, well, that's just a fact. Well, how do you know? Well, everyone says. But then, if our faith is so shallow, we could say, well, I don't believe. Maybe there's a whole conspiracy against me. Maybe London is the capital of India. Actually, maybe India never got independence. It's all just a connivance by the politicians. And maybe, you know, it's all just a big hoax. Or maybe nothing really exists anyway. I don't believe in anything. Sometimes people say to us, I don't believe anything. Then you can ask them, do you believe that? Then they're caught. If you say, I don't believe anything, you believe that the word if has a certain meaning. You believe that the word I, the word don't, the word believe, and the word anything, you believe that the meaning ascribed to those words is understood by the other person you're speaking to. And you believe that I exist, otherwise what is the meaning of I? So we all believe something. Faith in bhakti means to have faith that there is more to existence than this parivarta ugraha, this miserable material existence of repeated birth and death. Faith that beyond this cycle of birth and death, there is an ultimate principle. There is something at the basis of all of this. It's not just simply by chance, which is the most foolish idea, that there is the ultimate principle. And then someone should know, someone should teach us. So that person is the acharya, comes to teach us what to give the information What is the actual purpose of life? One should make such inquiry. Then there has to be someone to answer. That someone is the representative of Vyasadeva. Such a person can give us the knowledge by which we become free from birth and death and by which we attain Artha Bhava, the ecstasy of the soul in love of Krishna. Now, if we don't have this attitude of wanting to inquire, where is Krishna? If we don't maintain that strong mood, I must find Krishna. Before his body drops down dead, which he shall certainly do, today, tomorrow, within 10 years, within 20 years, his body will fall down dead, but I must perfect my human life. Now I've got this. After many lifetimes I got this human birth. Now I should perfect it by inquiring about Krishna. Not only inquiring, but after inquiry comes action. What is the absolute truth? Krishna is the absolute truth. So what should I do to understand this? Shravanam, Ketanam, Vishnu, Swam. We should do this. So this mood of eagerness to attain Krishna, this should be maintained. That mood will find its that mood of inquiry that will find its answer when we come to Prabhupada, to Shastra, to Radha Madhava. This is the absolute truth. This is the ultimate knowledge. There is nothing beyond it. This is real knowledge. Everything else is meaningless or worse. So if we are regularly in contact with this absolute truth knowledge, then we'll always be infused with this Atma Bhava. We'll progress gradually in the ecstasy of the soul that comes by the submissive attitude of service to Krishna. But if we think, oh, now I know Krishna, or, yeah, okay, Krishna's okay, I like Krishna. But I have many other things to do also. So we'll just put Krishna on hold a little bit for some time. And I have a few other things to do, I'll come back later. Or, yeah, I like Krishna consciousness, it's my hobby. So I do it on Sundays for an hour. So this kind of attitude. Or the cheating attitude that I am very Krishna conscious in my own way. I have my own understanding of Krishna consciousness. Not what we hear from Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Then we shall become very eager to consult persons who are not Krishna conscious, who put importance on this material world, who also consider that Krishna is an object of our study. We shall put under the microscope Krishna and analyze and give a report and get a PhD. So this kind of attitude is not useful for understanding Krishna. It may seem to be useful for understanding Krishna, but one can never get Krishna in millions of lifetimes by such an offensive attitude. To think that I am very important and I have understood Krishna and I'm giving my understanding, my belief or my opinion or my understanding. Krishna can be understood through the parampara system, and that also only by persons. Yasyadeva parapati yatha deve tatha guru tasyaite katita hyata prakashante mahatmanah. Only those who have full faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead and His manifest representative, the spiritual master, to such persons the import of the Shastra is revealed. Such a person will see Krishna, as Prabhupada writes, that Krishna is revealed in every page of the Bhagavata. Krishna is Bhagavata. But for those who are envious of Krishna, they will read this Bhagavata and say, oh, you see, mistake. He will think himself such a great scholar to judge that he will not find Krishna. He will go further away from Krishna. So this mood of inquiry, if we have this very strong mood inquiring, where is Krishna? I must find Krishna. That will be our guide to protect us from that which appears to be Krishna conscious but is not Krishna conscious. Wolf in sheep's clothing. What is it? Wolf in sheep's clothing, yes. That someone is talking of Krishna, giving some opinion, very learned, but no Krishna. Dry, empty. No Atma Bhava. They have considered Krishna to be an object of their study. Not that I am an object of Krishna's study. Krishna doesn't need to study me. But I am subordinate to Krishna. Not that Krishna should be subordinate to me. Order supply. So this will be our guide in an age where there are so many different opinions and so many compromises and so many different angles on what it means to be Krishna conscious. Our strong desire that I must attain Krishna, I must find Krishna, I must surrender to Krishna, I must serve Krishna, I must give up all material desires which are obstructions in my path of coming to Krishna. In this mood we maintain very strongly, that will direct us, just like the magnet, the iron filings are attracted to a magnet. We can make a wooden magnet. We can make a magnet, it looks like a magnet out of wood, and paint it red, and so it looks like a magnet. We put it to the iron filings, and it won't work. Why doesn't it work? Because it's not a magnet, it just looks like a magnet. It's a fraud, it's a fake. So, if we're on the other way, we may have a magnet in sawdust. That won't work either. You say, well, the magnet picks up the iron filings. Why doesn't it pick up the wood filings? It's the wrong physics. It's not the proper object. The proper object for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one who is very desirous to receive it. So, maintaining that mood, we can be Krishna conscious. Otherwise, we won't be Krishna conscious. And then, Parivartha Ugra will be lost in the cycle of birth and death. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Maharajas, to make any comments? Anyone else? Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam. Question here or comment? Yeah, all right. Umamti Maharajas. Please.
So you said that some people read the Bhagavatam and say, well,
some people read the Bhagavatam and say there's a mistake.
Yeah. Now we have people in our movement read the Bhagavatam and say, well, when it talks about Krishna's pastime, there's no mistake. But when it talks about the cosmos or mundane.
Is this sound being amplified? There are people in our movement who say,
I go, oh, here we go, all right.
So they'll say that, yeah, the Bhagavatam is no mistake when it talks about Krishna's pastime. But when it talks about things like cosmology or social issues in the material world, well, it might be outmoded because we've discovered other things. Like,
maybe outmoded. The universe changed?
Well, we've discovered things.
You've discovered things.
The Bhagavatam was written.
Oh, I see. You mean Krishna moved the planets around a bit?
Well, they got it wrong when they wrote the Bible.
They got it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. And so social issues.
Social issues, yeah. The world is different now. Well, this is a very big topic, which is one of my favorite topics. Social issues. Yes, the world as we know it today is very different from the kind of society in which Vyasadeva was writing. That's true. But it's also true that the basic principles that Vyasadeva wrote about, they are, as Prabhupada many times explained, they are based on natural human psychology. For instance, Prabhupada said that it is natural when a young girl reaches puberty that she desires a husband. And If she doesn't have, then she is, she feels very distressed. So on this basis, as is stated in Shastra, Prabhupada recommended that girls should be married before puberty, which in the modern age is considered, not only considered, it's a crime. It's considered an injustice to girls. I'm just saying this because this is what might be considered an extreme example. But human psychology, or the psychology of girls, didn't change since the time of the Vyasadeva. It's going to change even in the next creation. There's Bhutva, Bhutva, Paliyata. Nitya, what's that word? A steady factor, ongoing factor. So, he was there, we have to let them become more mature and choose. But that is generally not the system given by Vyasadeva. Now, in modern society, it's considered more or less acceptable. Still not in India or in Muslim countries. But in the West, it's considered quite normal for young girls of 13, 14, 15 to get pregnant and either have an abortion or have a child. Not married, because they're not allowed to get married. So that's normal, but marriage of young girls is not allowed. That's wrong. So it's encouraging prostitution. Because their tendency to unite with a member of the opposite sex is there. And so that is allowed for, that's with protection by marriage. But in the modern age, because it's Rakshasa society, they say child marriage is wrong, but abortions of young girls at the age 15 or having children and they're supported by the state is right. So in the context of modern society, these are all very revolutionary things. Yeah, but we may say that, well, maybe Vyasadeva got it wrong. Maybe Prabhupada got it wrong because, after all, he was a 19th century Indian. So we have heard from Rasmus. But Prabhupada is a representative of the Absolute Truth. He's not speaking on behalf of his own opinion, but he's speaking on behalf of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, which is, if we are told to be devotees, the first thing is we have to accept the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra correct. Now, there may be some adjustments according to time, place, and circumstances. For instance, it is not allowed, it is illegal in India, it's illegal for girls to get married until they're 18 in this country. It's even worse than in other countries. Although marriages do go on, nevertheless, earlier than that. So, we may say, well, it's illegal. So then we may have to make some adjustment, but the principle we should understand is Vyasadeva was not wrong. He is Bhagavat Avatar, he is the incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead to give knowledge for society. So although the time, place, and circumstances may be different, and we certainly will have to make some adjustments, but at the same time we should know what the ideal is and work towards that, and certainly not blaspheme Guru, Sadhu, or Shastra in the name of being intelligent, being modern, and they're wrong, so we shall have to edit them and change them according to, then someone will want to edit them according to Freud and someone according to Jung. Then what happens? Let us stick to Shastra. It's a big topic, it's highly controversial. There's no tomato store outside, so we need help at the end. But anyway, we'll wait for it on the internet. I've already had plenty of it. No, all these things, just like women should be subordinate to men, this is their social role. We find repeatedly, it's not how we may say Prabhupada's like a 19th century old man who doesn't really understand the Western people. You may say that, I didn't say that. But we have to understand, this is, it's not just something that Prabhupada dreamed up, it's the whole tradition from literally millions of years. It's throughout Shastra we'll find this. Sat Sriyam Sat Pati Yata, even Kapila gives the example of how a devotee is he's subordinate in a pact of love with the Lord, just like a wife is subordinate in a pact of love with her husband. So this is what is given by Shastra. So we should try to understand that and implement that. It's easier to go with the flow of modern Western society, but that flow is going to hell. It's easy to go to hell. It's easy just to say, well, you know, let the kids just do whatever they like and, you know, practically make love to each other in public and boyfriends, girlfriends, and it's easy. Just, you know, let them do what they like. That's easy. But then we fail in our duty as parents. To follow Shastra, to take up Krishna consciousness, means to go against this modern demoniac society. So these are all, just like pejorative terms of this, submissive. Oh, we shouldn't be submissive. This is the modern Western idea. We shouldn't be submissive to anyone. We should just be the, what's that, the rugged individual. But the rugged individual is not rugged enough to face Yamaraj, he has to suffer. One should rather follow Shastra, not think oneself so intelligent that he can reinterpret. That's the business of the mundane scholars. And mundane scholars are mundane. You know where they are. So these are very big questions. Unfortunately, our society has become much influenced by these mundane ideas which have been instituted in them. But we have to understand these things very carefully. Spiritually, roles are... Spiritually, everyone has equal opportunity to serve Krishna. But there is some division according to body also, according to Shastra. There's some division of labor. Just like Prabhupada said, we want to make men and women equal. Then the men should have children also. Why only the women are getting pregnant? We should make something that the men get pregnant. But it doesn't work like that. A woman's body is meant for, by nature's arrangement, it gives birth to a child. And the woman also has the, not only the physical body for nurturing children, but also if she's not brought up in a totally rakshasa society like modern society, she also has the inclination to bring up children. So that's been spoiled by the modern rakshasa society that says that women should also work and have jobs and have careers and be airline pilots, and they should also go to Iraq and get guns and... What is this? Go out and get bombed. That kind of thing mentioned. Women, they should be looking after children. This is the natural arrangement, which is also stated in Shastra. Anyway, it's a big subject. There are opposing opinions to this also, but according to Shastra, there are certain roles which everyone should play according to their body, according to their eligibility, according to their mentality. How to institute this in modern ISKCON? That is a great question. But to circumvent that we should be instituting it is certainly not the desire of Srila Prabhupada. Okay, that's the composition. No, I won't. Let it come. Time's up. It was a loaded question. You set me up for it.
I'm trying to get you in trouble.
It's all right. I'm already in plenty of it. It's going on for years. Thank you.
Reborn.
Let such trouble come. Actually, we don't want. We want to, it should be clearly understood. Why all these mundane ideas come? This movement is meant for creating a revolution in the misdirected lives of a simple population, not becoming another religion within the simple population. Krishna consciousness is not meant to be another religion, a bona fide religion, certified by the beefeaters. That we're not supposed to be. This movement is supposed to change the whole society. give direction to human society, how we can live happily and peacefully in this world with Krishna in the center. Not that we've become an accepted part of society. When we become an accepted part of society, we're in trouble. If they don't accept us, it's better. Or rather, they should accept us on our terms, not that we become accepted by them on their terms. That means we've failed. All right, now finish. Hare Krishna.